Welcome to episode 6 of Up to Speed, only on 102.3 Penguin Radio or the Penguin Radio website. Scroll on down, see a bunch of little links, click on those. You got your shows. Last week, we covered the BMW i4 and what we thought about that. BMW's new electric sedan, four-door sedan. Looking to be somewhat styled similar to their new M3. I said I didn't really care for it too much. I just thought it wasn't special enough to be their first full EV, because we know a lot of companies have been going for some pretty wild and out there things when they're introducing their new EV lines, and BMW didn't really do that. They went really, really back to normal. But we said we were going to be waiting on that new Tesla Model X competitor to come out, and today, in today's show, we have not one but two Model X competitors coming up. The first one's the one that we expected, the 2022 BMW iX, was announced. The starting price is around $85,000, which sounds like a lot, but again, we're talking about a Model X competitor. Most Model X are going for well over, I'd say well over 110, 120 still, I think. Even 2017, 16s are reselling for around $70,000 to $80,000, which is pretty impressive for BMW then. $85,000 base price, obviously that's going to be optioned up pretty high, probably to around $100,000. But that's much better than what Tesla's models have been doing recently. We're getting about 300 miles of charge on this new EV. Says it's going to have around 500 horsepower from two electric motors and 0 to 60 in less than 5 seconds, which is impressive for this size of a vehicle, although not that impressive. It's definitely lacking on performance when it comes to competing with the Model X. The Model X is going to blast this thing out of the water when it comes to performance. But if you're getting an SUV like this, you're probably not really looking for all that performance, or else you would have gotten maybe a Model S or an Audi e-tron or something similar to that. But you didn't, so you got an SUV. You're going to be getting your SUV features here with this car. Looks like it has plenty of space. The styling on this one, I think it's better. It's definitely better than the i4. I think the bigger grills definitely fit on the SUVs of BMW. I honestly wish they would have just added that bigger kidney, well, it's not even a kidney grill anymore, it's almost a lung grill at this point. If they would have just put it on the SUVs, I don't think anyone really would have minded, because I think it actually suits the SUVs. I just think it's a little bit too tall for the sedans. I don't mind it, again, but I don't totally dig it either. Yeah, the mesh and the grills have a cool little design. I think that also looks really good, and I think this launch color, this bronze with the blue accents, was a really good color to go with. I think it makes it stand out from all the other launch EVs, which typically just go with white and then maybe blue or green or whatever accent colors the company wants to add onto it. No real accent colors other than this dark blue, which looks, or not dark blue, but like, I'd say an average blue, a moderate blue, I'd say. I think it does look pretty good on this car, though. It complements the badge. Interior, we don't know too much about what the interior is going to be like, although I'm expecting it to be BMW's new iDrive 8 infotainment system, which, if they keep the interior that they demonstrated on when they revealed the new iDrive 8 system, yeah, it's going to look really, really good. Yeah, I've just found now that we do have confirmation that this the iDrive 8 system will be in the BMW iX. I think that this interior and what they did with the steering wheel looks fantastic. You get your big long screen like what you have with Mercedes S-classes or Mercedes... do E-classes have them now? I don't know if E-classes have them now, but they might have them now. I know G-classes do. You have a separated center console, which looks pretty good. I used to... it's very old-fashioned how it's broken up at the feet, so it looks like you have a lot more foot room down there, which is a pretty cool feature. I actually think more companies should do this because I really like old pickups and old SUVs, Toyota 4Runners, I know have them, where the console is not connected up to the dash and it leaves a bunch of leg room and room for you to put things down by your feet without really getting too cluttered up with the pedals or having to, you know, shove it in, right into your passenger's footwell. You get a little bit more room down there, which is nice. It doesn't look like conventional shifters. I have to go off of certain pictures because this was just released. We don't have all the details. But it looks like BMW's classic little switch for a shifter down at the bottom. Obviously, this isn't going to come in any sort of manual. It's an electric car. That's not even possible. But other than that, climate vents look nice. It looks like you're going to get a good amount of seat adjustment. And the only interior color that I can confirm for you is what looks like mahogany with wood accents, which is weird on an electric car. That's kind of the last thing I expected to see was wood accents, but you know, we'll roll with it. I think it doesn't look too bad at all. So yeah, the iDrive 8, obviously expanding on the iDrive 7 system with voice recognition, massive touchscreens, and then the whole myriad of features, and it still has a rotary controller that is a physical rotary controller and not anything that you have to use with touchscreens, which is always nice. Love it when a company will give us physical buttons and physical controls, or at least dedicated controls, rather than a bunch of stuff in a touchscreen and software. I always think it's much easier to reach, to navigate things when I have an actual button or at least an actual controller for it. But yeah, it's a glass little rotator on top of the wood. It looks really futuristic, actually, and really, really good. I did not expect to see it look, you know, that good. BMW's old system looked really nice, but it wasn't anything like this, and we have buttons integrated into the wood panel, which I think looks fantastic. And I hope they use this in more of their... I could see BMW bringing this over to more of their luxury cars. I don't think they're going to bring it to the M models anytime soon or anything with a combustion engine on the lower end, but some of their higher-end model vehicles, I would love to see this interior added, because I think it definitely adds more to their cars. And honestly, right now, that's a really big selling point for this new iX, is that interior. You get a new 14.9-inch central touchscreen, along with a 12.3-inch digital instrument panel. Kind of wish they would have went with physical gauges, but we have a really nice, sleek-looking digital gauge cluster here, so not too much to complain about. The iX and the i4 allow for up to 10 customizable presets for the color of the ambient lighting, the dashboard displays, and other things, and also the steering and throttle response will also have 10 customizable presets that you can choose from, which I think is pretty cool. I mean, I don't know if you're going to have 10 total people driving in the car, but maybe you have a grocery setting where you want your driving to be very soft and your braking to be very smooth. And maybe you want I'm really late to work and I need to get there really fast, so I'm going to speed in this BMW iX customizable preset. You can do that. You can have your throttle be stronger, your brakes be stiffer, and I think that's a pretty cool feature. So yeah, overall, BMW iX is looking very nice. It's starting at a pretty reasonable base price, which I wouldn't have expected from BMW, but given the success of the Model X, they really need to put out a strong competitor to get back out in front here, as they're kind of a step behind and have been for a while now. But we see a leap in the right direction. We see a car that I think is a better option than the i4, and I think isn't a bad option overall for this electric SUV category of cars around 80 to 100 and something grand. But coming up later in the show, we do have a little extra competitor that we will be comparing this and the Model X against. I'm your host, DJ Mechanic. This is Up to Speed on 102.3 Penguin Radio, and we will be back. DJ Mechanic, Up to Speed, 102.3 Penguin Radio. We are back. Last section, we just talked about the BMW iX and its competition being the Model X, which is convenient. We have two X cars, but we're gonna be wanting that's breaking. We have one right now that's going to be breaking the mold. We have a little startup company that was a little startup company, but is definitely not a little startup company anymore. It's been a big deal for about a year now. They haven't been releasing too much onto the road yet, but it's right around the corner and cars are for sale. So this is a pretty exciting time to be jumping in and letting you guys know about a little company called Rivian. Rivian is an all-electric vehicle manufacturer outside of Detroit. They primed their, showed off their automotive introduction at, where did they release it? I don't know. I know they released it at an event. I can't remember it off the top of my mind. It was about a year ago. They revealed their all-electric truck, their R1T, and it shook a lot of heads because it was right after Tesla revealed the Cybertruck. The Cybertruck obviously having some crazy styling, some crazy promises, some crazy features, doesn't look like all that ready. It doesn't look like it's a car that's going to be out on the road anytime soon. Rivian, on the other hand, has come and dropped this truck, and it has done so well that Amazon invested $700 million and Ford invested $500 million right into Rivian. They're going straight into production, followed by the Rivian SUV, which is the other competitor to the iX and the Model X. That is going to be really, really exciting, especially because of some of the features that it's promising. But first, I do want to start with the Rivian R1T, because that is also as exciting. Starting at a lower base price than what the Cybertruck and the Hummer EV are promising, $75,000 starting base price. I think the styling looks incredible. I think everything that they did, styling cues, works perfectly. I think they've established themselves as a company. They have a lot of company style features, like the headlights being kind of big ovals in the front of the car, and then the one big daylight runner going across. I think it looks fantastic. It's promised to have around 250 to 400 miles of range with lightning quick acceleration. We don't have any numbers on it, but we have lightning quick acceleration, so I'm assuming it'll be pretty quick. It's around the size of a Ford Ranger, but a little bit bigger and a little bit smaller than like a Ram 1500. So not a small truck, not a big truck, somewhere in between. But yeah, it's a Cybertruck and Hummer, Cybertruck and Hummer rival, and more than just a rival. It is a big, big time competitor. The original version, sorry, the launch edition is going to start at $75,000. The Explorer edition is going to start at $67,000, which is even lower, which is an incredible deal considering the the looks and the pricing and the range of this car compared to other things, especially because we don't even have an electric pickup truck coming out right now. This is going to be very, very big if they can turn this car around fast enough to get it out before that. If they can, I think we'll see a big switch in a Tesla-dominated realm to a Tesla-Rivian-dominated realm, which would be pretty exciting. But again, they have to push for that. They have to push for that launch date pretty quickly. But what they aren't trying to push super fast, but will come eventually, is the 2021, although I don't know why it's called the 2021. I don't know if it's coming out this year. I doubt it. But if it drops this year, that would be huge because they are calling it the 2021. The Rivian R1S. This is their seven-seater SUV. Looks a little bit like a mix between a Ford Explorer and an Escalade, I would say. Somewhere in between that. Definitely smaller than an Escalade. Definitely bigger than an Explorer. Starting at $77,000, which is, again, much lower than the iX and the Model X. We're going to get around 410 miles of driving range, which is a very, very large amount. That is enough for a solid road trip without refueling, which is a big, big deal. Because that is the thing that most people in most surveys have been held off from buying an electric car. That's the main reason. So it doesn't have enough range to go for a long car ride, and it doesn't have the infrastructure. Well, Rivian has just made a very large deal for infrastructure, and their vehicles are getting a ridiculous amount of range. So I'm saying within the next few years, these are going to be more viable options than gas cars. With Rivian, Tesla, and all these automakers within the past like 3 weeks just revealing all their electric cars, I don't see us getting past 2022 without electric cars being the normal thing to purchase. Which is a very shocking and bold statement because, you know, we've seen gas cars for centuries. I mean, well, not centuries, but almost centuries, well over one, and nothing's changed. Or, I mean, they've gotten better, but nothing's changed from the fundamental process of gas. But, I mean, we've been expanding on these electric cars so fast, so rapidly, that I don't think anyone really expected it, but I think now most people are predicting it, that it will switch over very, very soon. And I think that they're absolutely right. I don't see a reason why we would stick to these gas engines from a practicality standpoint. I'm not talking from a car guy standpoint and the fun of gas motors and the fun of working on them and things like that. I'm talking about strictly just from practicality and reasonability. It's cheaper. 400 miles is more than I would be able to get on my gas car now. And they charge in maybe 30 minutes, which is enough for maybe a food break, and then I'm good to go and I'm back on the road. I mean, that doesn't sound like the downsides of an electric car. That sounds like the upsides of an electric car, honestly. They're making the things that were the downsides, like speed and range and charge times, some of the benefits. And when you think of it that way, you start to think, oh, well, what's the reason that I should have, you know, a gas car anymore? Like, if all the upsides are non-existent anymore because they've all been smashed by these electric cars, then what would be the point? And that's something that Rivian's going to capitalize on if they're going to come through with their promises. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the same for almost every company right now. If they come through with their promises and these vehicles release at the price that they're going to, with the range and the reliability that they should, then yeah, then we're done with gas cars production by 2024-25, and we're switching to full electric cars, and most of the cars on the road, I'd say about 30% to 40% will probably be electric cars by 2024. Which is a lot. It's definitely a lot. But again, I think that times are just shifting, and companies like this are just showing us that, you know, anything's just, clearly anything is possible with a very small amount of time. I'm your host, DJ Mechanic. You're listening to Up to Speed on 102.3 Penguin Radio, or the Penguin Radio website. You can click the little link down there. We will be back. Welcome back to Up to Speed. I'm your host, DJ Mechanic. You're only on 102.3 Penguin Radio, or the Penguin Radio website. In this segment, I wanted to cover a little bit of the history and one of the new cars of a company that I have loved since I was a little kid, and not too many people know about, or at least not formally know about. And that company is Pagani. Pagani was started by a man named Horatio Pagani, who was always a car person his entire life. In high school, before finishing high school, he built his own car using a body kit that was provided. And back in Argentina, where he was from, they used to be called dune buggies because they kind of looked like dune buggies. And he built his own car in around the 1970s, 80s, and 90s. He worked for Lamborghini. He was a style designer, and he fell in love with the Miura and the Countach, because obviously, during the times, the Miura and the Countach were the two big supercars, and they were both from Lamborghini, and they both looked incredible, and to this day, they're still some of the most beautiful cars ever made. But, you know, he just never really got to design the cars that he really wanted to. He wanted to make cars that weren't Lamborghini cars, and so he, in around 1991 to 1998, he left and went to go design his own 100% Pagani style car. And then we got the C12, the Zonda C12, the very first car that Pagani revealed to the media, to the world. He gave us the Zonda, and the Zonda is one of my favorite cars of all time. The Zonda was a car that had way, way, way too many extra models. We had the C12 in the 99. We had the C12S. We had the Zonda F. We had the Zonda S Roadster. We had the Zonda S. We had the Zonda Roadster F. We had the Zonda Scenic, Zonda Scenic Roadster, the Zonda R, the Zonda Tricolori, and the Zonda Revolution. Not including the whole 760 series and all the special one-offs. The Zonda had a very, very, very long life from 99 to 2013. New additions and new models were being made, and it's just because the car was incredible. There was nothing better than, there was no reason to make a new car, because they were still the fastest cars that you could possibly make. And so time went on like this, and but by the time it got to 2010, time was starting to make the new Pagani, the new model Pagani. That, yeah, I might have forgotten to mention, this is the only model that they sold for the past, for that whole 10 to 11, 12 year span. They only sold the Zonda, and they didn't really need to sell anything else, because each one of them was about $2 to $3 million on the very low end. They're all around 7, 8 now. So that's the reputation that Zonda has built, that Pagani has built. A company that came from seemingly nowhere in the 90s created this unbelievable supercar that had so much style and so much passion and such a great engine and felt great that it just stuck. And most of these one-offs just, they don't stick like that. They don't say lean. Look at companies, almost every American company and a few Italian ones would make one supercar and they would announce it and everyone would pre-order and the rave would go crazy and then that would be it. They'd fall off the map. Not Pagani. Pagani has stayed, and in 2011 they made the Huayra, which shares a lot of styling cues with the Zonda, but is a new car, and you can tell everything about the Huayra did what the Zonda did and took it to the next level, which is exactly what everyone wanted. And that's why the Huayra was even more successful than the Zonda. In 2011, we had the Pagani Huayra, and then we had the Pagani Huayra Carbon Edition in the 2012, along with the White Edition. In 2014, we had the La Monza Edition, which was a racing-style edition. And then we had the Da Vinci and the Kingstma, the Diastina, and the Hermes. And in 2017, we got the biggest upgrade, the Huayra BC, which was the fully more track-focused, stationary-wing, hardcore version of the Huayra, if you can even make another more hardcore edition, considering how hardcore the first one was. But they managed to do it, and we have the Huayra BC, and in 2017, we got the Huayra BC Machina Volante, and then we got the Huayra Pearl, the L'Ultimo, and after those three one-offs, we got the BC Roadster, which had a full production line come out. It was, of course, the BC, but it had a drop top. And if you're going to buy a $3-4 million hypercar, you might want a drop top. And Pagani said, yeah, hey, you can do that now. They only waited about 5 years to do it, but they eventually got there and they made it. After that, we got the Imola Edition, which was a full drag-style car. And now, and finally, the last one after that was the Huayra Tricolore, which was, to this day, the best Pagani that you could get. 840 horsepower to the wheels, with a blue carbon fiber or whatever carbon fiber that you wanted, along with two other colors. That's where the name comes in, Tricolore. And until today, or until March 18th, that was the most insane Pagani that you could buy. Until now. You see, 2021 came around, and it's already March. And it's been about 10, 11 years. And that's about how long the lifetime of these cars are. So we were expecting this, but we finally got it. And it's everything that we want it to be. The Huayra R. 838 horsepower with a 9,000 RPM V12. That is a one-off for only this car. $3.1 million each, 30 units sent off, and it looks stunning. Everything about the Zonda R is, again, done better in every single way in this car, and I'm blown away. 6 liters for that engine is a Mercedes-Benz HWA racing engine. It's not going to be road legal, obviously, because it is a full hardcore track car, and it sounds like an old F1 car, which is fantastic. The engine noise this thing makes, while I don't have a clip that I can play in a high enough quality, and I don't want to play one through this microphone because I don't want to try and imitate how beautiful it sounds, I'd rather you just go and listen to it on your own. It is one of the most incredible engine sounds I have ever heard. And I'm just happy that the Huayra, a car that has a great storyline behind it and a great history that's way, way too long for me to put in even this podcast. I could do a whole 10 podcast series on the history of these cars. I just wanted to go through a few of the most memorable one-off models and some of the bigger additions. But yeah, the Huayra R was released, and that is going to be the send-off for the Huayra. Now we get to wait to see what we will get for the next Pagani. I'm very excited for that. I've been waiting since I was a kid. I was in elementary school when the Huayra came out. So now that I get to be a full-grown adult looking at this next car, I feel like it's going to be a very special one, or at least I hope it's going to be a very special one. You better believe that when that is announced, that it will be covered here on Up to Speed with me, DJ Mechanic, on 102.3 Penguin Radio. And that's going to wrap it up for this little Pagani segment. After this, we will be hopping right into a little sedan showcase, bringing it back for week 2 of the series. And yeah, once again, Up to Speed, I'm your host, DJ Mechanic. We'll be back. Welcome back to Up to Speed, only on 102.3 Penguin Radio or the Penguin Radio website. I'm your host, DJ Mechanic. We are back with another sedan showcase, where I give you a little subtle sedan, a little sleeper sedan to check on out. Because, I know a lot of people who watch this show may not be car people, but they might want something that's, a little bit more exciting than their basic Honda Accord or something similar to that. And, we're in Marin, we're going to go ahead and check out some pretty cool sleeper sedans. This week we have the 2021 Audi RS5 Sportback. Last week we covered the Kia Stinger. Kia Stinger was going to be quite a bit cheaper than this, but now we're stepping it up onto the big boy's $76,000 base price, the RS5 Sportback. This new model, the new styling that Audi has done with widening the grille and the sectioned off headlights, looks fantastic. I like everything that they've done about it. I think it complements it very well, and as well as the whole Sportback feature. So, you get an RS5 Sportback, what are you looking to be getting? Well, you're going to be starting with a 444 horsepower twin turbo V6, although not a V8. That's going to make a pretty nice noise, and a pretty smooth one as well for just cruising around. That's not going to be an engine that is going to be very jolty at low revs or just cruising around the town. It's going to be an engine that can kill in a straight line when it needs to and kind of just sit back and relax the rest of the time as you go about your daily life. The appearance I said is a little bit more edgier. You get some updated technology in there. You get the rotary controller like you would with the BMW iX we covered earlier. You get an 8.3-inch display and a 10.1-inch infotainment touchscreen. Audi is also offering 20-inch wheels in gloss black or matte bronze, which I think in the picture that I'm seeing looks very, very good. Please go with the matte bronze. I think it does really, really well with the way this car looks, especially in this white pearl that I'm looking about in their showcase pictures. So yeah, about 443 pound-feet of torque. You get a paddle-shifted 8-speed automatic. There will be no manual in this car. It's just a little bit too fast for that to even really be worth it at that point. I haven't been able to drive the car, but the articles that I've read have said it's very, very stable at very high speeds, Autobahn level speeds. You'll hit 0 to 60 in about 3.3 seconds and close the gap between 50 and 70 miles per hour in 2.9 seconds, which is very, very fast. And in case you ever want to take it to a quarter mile, it will do it in around 11.8 seconds at 115 miles an hour, which is very, very impressive. It can hang with the Alfa Romeo Giulia, which is one of its bigger competitors. That has 505 horsepower, but the RS5 will still kick it and stay with it in a race, which is very, very impressive, honestly, considering that Giulia is going to be a little bit more expensive as well. When it comes to interior, you're getting Audi interior. You're going to get some beautiful features. You're going to get some of the best tech on the market. Again, full digital gauge cluster display. I'm not sure I'm a fan of that, but, you know, you win some, you lose some. You can get some carbon accents on the interior as well, and you get the beautiful, beautiful Audi steering wheel. I think Audi has probably the best steering wheel out of most companies right now. Every time I just hold a brand new Audi steering wheel, it's just it's a pleasant experience, and everything is right where I want it to be. My volume dials and cruise control and all the things that I want are just there. And again, this is a Sportback, so you will be getting the lifted little tailgate in the back, which I've always been a fan of. I think it gives you more space, makes it easier to get bigger things in the back, maybe some golf clubs, maybe some groceries, maybe some lacrosse gear, who knows? Whatever you may need. You're also getting some nice back seats. Not sure if those are heated and cooled, but I assume that they're heated, because I believe the old RS5 had heated back seats. And yeah, I think that this is a great car, and I think that it's a really great option if you're looking for a subtle little sedan with a nice little smooth engine and just everything you need. If you want to buy a brand new luxury sports sedan, this is it. It's Audi. If you know Audi, there are always cars that are not going to disappoint. They do exactly what they are intended to do. Now, whether you want to buy something with a little bit more passion, a little bit more sound behind it, a little bit less mechanically like engineered, then go with the Giulia, then go with something else, or step up to the RS6 Avant. While, although not an SUV and more of a wagon, you're getting a twin turbo V8 with it for around $25,000 more that produces 591 horsepower, 0 to 60 in 3.1 seconds, and it'll top out at 190. This is a very, very fast car, and I've always been a fan of the RS6 over the RS5, although I can see why people would love the RS5 because, again, it's a great sedan, and there's nothing else there, really. It's just everything about it is just good, and it does its thing and does nothing more than it needs to. But if you wanted to do a little bit more than it needs to, then I would step up to the RS6 if you have the money. I think the RS6 is going to give you more practicality, except for that definitely less MPG on that car. But again, if you're buying a $110,000 Audi sedan, you're probably not too worried about the gas mileage, which is respectable in about every way, simply because, I mean, fun, just fun. That's all I have to say is just fun. There's no other reason. But yeah, RS6 gonna have a lot of the features that the RS5 has. You get some 22-inch wheels if you throw on the black optic package with performance tires. That's definitely the main option that I would look to spec into if you were going to spec it out at all. Obviously, I do recommend speccing it out because while these do come good, base. Audi, BMW, Mercedes are very known for a lot of additional options and making things that should be standard not standard. So I would definitely look into those options a little bit more and make sure that you're getting all the features that you you think that you're going to get. And I have a lot of friends who will look up the feature of their car and say, oh, I've got this, I've got these brakes, I've got that, and they'll pull it around and they don't, because they didn't pay for the options that would have allowed them to get those things, which is pretty unfortunate. I don't really like that companies do that so much and so often, but it is what it is, and you know, things happen. But yeah, so sum it up, RS5, fantastic car. You're gonna get all the features of a brand new sedan. You're going to get that cruise control, you're going to get those heated and cool seats, you're going to get that luxury while also getting that speed. It's going to be smooth and yet fast, and it's going to look great and probably last a very, very long time and be pretty damn reliable. Same thing with the RS6, just a little bit more passion, a little bit more sound, a little bit more noise behind that one. But both of them, fantastic cars if you have the option. I think there isn't really much that's going to beat them at the moment, and if there is, it's by such a subtle margin that it's just personal preference at that point. Other than that, I've been your host, DJ Mechanic. This has been episode 6 of Up to Speed. I hope you guys enjoyed this one. It's a little bit more rushed out than previous. I have to leave earlier in the week for a little business trip. So I had to get this episode out a little bit earlier, so I might miss a little bit of news that happens later this week, but I will be sure to probably cut out the sedan showcase next week and do a bunch of small story showcase instead, so we can cover all the stuff that I was able to miss. Other than that, again, DJ Mechanic, Up to Speed. I will catch you all next week.